Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Fluently Forward. Today on the podcast, we are going to be taking it back to an original Fluently Forward, where we are going to be doing a deep dive into a movie slash TV show. It's just a movie, but it was based on a book, and we are covering Dune Part 2. I could have done Dune Part 1, but let's be honest, if you saw it, it kind of sucked. Like Dune 2, the way Dune 2 was so much better than Dune 1, and only a few movies. I understand this is part of like a big book trilogy, but typically the first movie is always better, unless you're talking about 21 Jump Street. 22 Jump Street was so good. They were really able to do a sequel in a way that like every other sequel, I'm thinking right now, Zoolander 2, don't watch it. Like, if you haven't seen it, don't let me be the one to encourage you to watch it. It was not good. But Dune Part 2 has been sweeping the nation. I actually got the chance to see it early as part of, like, I was invited to the premiere at Denver. It was so fun. I feel so fancy whenever I go to these things. And I also saw the premiere of Wonka, which Timothée Chalamet was also in. And we will be talking about that as we get into Timothée Chalamet and his blind items and recent gossip when we continue with Dune. So Dune Part 2, I'm just going to say Dune for the rest of the episode. It came out in 2024, and it was the second part of a movie that's part of this giant epic science fiction film trilogy, I believe. I believe that a third movie is coming out, but there might be more. And it was directed and produced by this guy with a very hard to pronounce name, who's a really good director. It looks like Denis Villeneuve, like Villeneuve from Killing Eve, but it's Denis Villeneuve, I think. I looked up like 20 different ways how to pronounce it. I'm not doing it right. Okay, he's French Canadian, but everybody in like the, when they're talking about working with the director, they all call him Denis. And he did the first Dune. He did a phenomenal job with it. Dune obviously started off as this like science fiction book. And it's so funny because in watching Dune, there's a lot of aspects to Star Wars in it. There's a lot of aspects to Game of Thrones in it. There's a lot of aspects to Avatar, not The Last Airbender, but the one where they go to Pandora. And I just feel like it's so interesting that so many people make movies where the whole theme of it is there's like this one man who goes to a tribe. Oh my God, Pocahontas, duh, you know. But there's this one man, and it could be Paul Atreides in Dune, or it could be John Smith with Pocahontas, or it could be Jon Snow with Game of Thrones. And then they go, because they're banished from like their high title, and then they go into a tribe where they meet this woman who teaches them the way of the culture, and then they learn it, and then they end up fucking it all up. And it's just like, I don't know, I could probably list off like 10 different movies where they've done that, but I haven't read the book Dune. A lot of people say good things about it. It seems like there were some differences in the book versus the film, but the film is just doing absolute bonkers number. And it was made into a film earlier. I watched some clips of it on YouTube. It was lacking. It wasn't really there. Dune 2, even if you haven't seen the first one, you just have to go see it. Even if you don't understand the plot, which I really didn't, it's such a beautiful film. The sound, I would bring earplugs, is incredible, but also deafening. And it just really does a good job at bringing you into this world that's kind of set in the future, but some of their technology is worse than ours, but some of it is better. It's just incredible. Also, don't take edibles if you're seeing Dune. I took edibles for the first time and it freaked me out. So who are we going to be talking about specifically, the cast in this movie? Timothée Chalamet, we have Zendaya. She was only in the first movie for like a hair of a second, but she plays a much bigger part in the second movie. We got Stellan Skarsgård, Austin Butler, Florence Pugh, Christopher Walken. And honestly, it kind of took me out a little bit. I just feel like Christopher Walken, you can't put him in a movie. It was like when I saw Harry Styles in Don't Worry, Darling, and I was like, okay, it's Harry Styles in a movie. You know, like it's Christopher Walken in a movie. I just feel like they're so big, they can't really take on the character. And we also had Lea Seydoux briefly in the movie hooking up with Austin Butler. And I just want to shout her out because I feel like she did such a good job in the movie. Like, oh my God, she was incredible. It should be named Lea Seydoux because that was kind of what she did in the movie. So anyway, this Dune movie has been a long time coming. Basically, in 2016, Legendary Pictures got the film and TV rights for the Dune franchise, which is also interesting because that decision to make it a three-part film instead of a TV series, I feel like it could have been a really good HBO series. But alas, you know, it's also good on the big screen, so I'm glad that they did it there. Now, what was interesting is that a few years ago, the first Dune movie came out, and it was actually only going to be a sequel if it did well on HBO Max. And that was like a very big thing that I was reading about. They weren't sure if a lot of people were going to like the first movie. And it wasn't even though like the first movie basically ends on a cliffhanger, you don't really see Zendaya in it at all, which we're going to be talking about later. For some reason, a second movie, probably because the budget is so astronomical for this, but they didn't know for sure if it was going to do well until they put it out on HBO Max, which is funny. I mean, obviously it did so well when it first came out that I'm pretty sure they didn't care about the HBO Max numbers afterwards. But I find that an interesting thing to note because that might be tied into other different clauses. This idea of how well does it do in the theaters versus how well does it do on streaming when we put it out later. Now, when you watch the Dune movies, like I said, they really do a good job of bringing you into this world, both with the visuals, with the sound, and not just the sound, like the soundtrack, but also the sound effects, like the rustling of the sand over the, you know, obviously dunes, the way that the sandworms come out of the ground, the different vibrations of when, this is only going to make sense if you've seen the movie, but when they put in that machine that pounds the sand to get the sandworms to come, they did an incredible job with that, but they also did a really good job of building out this world by working with the language. And they used the same Game of Thrones language creator, his name is David Peterson, to develop languages for the film. And he started working on that in April 2019, which is crazy. And I feel like the languages in the Dune movie were so good that there would be moments where Timothée Chalamet was speaking the Fremen language. And I was like, yes, badass speech, incredible. And then he would switch to English and be like, I am your leader. And I was suddenly like, oh no, like it doesn't sound as good in English. Like you got to go back to whatever type of epic language that was. But it makes sense because it was the same Game of Thrones language creator. And I just think that the Dothraki language that they created was so incredible. And it's really cool seeing how people use it in Game of Thrones and in the new House of the Dragon. The way that like the accent is a little bit different in both. I think that that's really cool. So the director talks a little bit about what his vision for the second movie was in compared to the first. The second movie is It's just better all around. It's more action heavy. It's more plot heavy. The director, Denis, said that he wanted the film to be an epic war movie. He thought that the first movie was going to be more contemplative, which in my mind is just kind of like a little bit boring and slow, but the second one would have more action. And he wanted the second movie to focus a lot more on the love scenes and the romance between Paul and Chani, which is basically Timothée Chalamet and Zendaya. He said that he wanted an epic love story between them. Did he get it done? Like, you let me know if you watched the movie, but I was just like, I don't know. I was talking to some people who had read the book, and they basically said that Chani's character, who was played by Zendaya, was way more down in the book. She was way more like, I understand what you have to do, Timothée Chalamet. I'm just going to use the actors' names for people who haven't seen the movie. But Zendaya in the movie, and I just feel like everything that I've seen her in, right? Dune, The Greatest Showman, Euphoria, she always like has a puss on her face, and she's just the victim of circumstance or situation, or she's just dealt a shitty or a tragic hand. And I just feel like every time I see Zendaya on the big or the small screen, she's frowning because something bad is happening to her. And I'm just like, is she being typecast in this type of role? Or I don't know, like I'd love to see a movie. I know that she's going to be in that tennis movie coming out, but I'd love to see her happy. I'd love to see her get a win. And I just feel like it never happens. And that was just kind of her vibe in the movie. And I wasn't really feeling the romance between them. Like I actually saw Dune twice. I saw it again last night and I went to go look for it to be like, okay, what did I witness the first time I saw it compared to the second time? Let me try and pick up on something. So I was able to catch different things in the second watch of it. And like when Timothée Chalamet and Zendaya kiss for the first time, it's just a kiss scene that's different than any other movie. Like normally they start to kiss and that's when you zoom in and like you watch them make out for a little bit, you know? And in Dune, they kiss and the minute their lips touch, the camera like zooms out and it does a scenic shot. And it's like, what are we doing? That's the chemistry. That's the passion. And even when they kiss on top of the mountain, Timothée Chalamet puts his arm around her, like over her shoulders and kind of pulls her in. It just feels buddy-buddy. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, hold her face, caress her neck, like, touch her lips or something. So obviously, it's not their fault. It's the director's vibe. But I was just like, I feel like everyone else in the movie had better chemistry. Let me know what you think. I personally think I could have made out with both of them much better. They're both just so attractive. Like, it should be easy. Anyway, we also had new additions to the Dune franchise with the second movie, and that was with Florence Pugh and Austin Butler. Their performances were absolutely astronomical. Florence Pugh, she just looks pretty in the costume. Austin Butler, holy shit. Him being in Dune, I think, changed every single person's mind on what Austin Butler can accomplish. I didn't know that he was in the movie the first time that I saw it. He plays Fade Rotha, who's psychotic. And he plays this like bald guy in the movie who's completely evil and psychotic and loves to kill people. But he also has a little bit of a sense of humor. He knocked that role out of the fucking park. It was unbelievable. He altered his voice because, you know, Austin Butler, he likes to get into the roles. He altered his voice to sound like Stellan Skarsgård, who plays like his fucked up uncle, who's also evil. So he has this gravelly little evil voice, and he's like licking knives with his tongue out. He's like fucking these religious figures. Like, he just did such, he was just mesmerizing. I honestly think he was the best part of the film. And unfortunately, he won't be in the third movie. He was absolutely phenomenal. And it just made me think, oh my God, all of those times that I've, you know, gagged on phrasing. I haven't gagged on Austin Butler, but all of those times, like, we've made fun of him for how deep he gets into a role and how committed he gets. It really paid off for Dune 2. He was absolutely phenomenal. So apparently, and this is funny because I had heard different things. Some people, you know, it was being spread around, and look, Wikipedia could be wrong, but it was being spread around that Austin Butler basically had to fight for the role and he had to try to do everything to get it. But over here on Wikipedia, it says that he was offered the role while having coffee with the director and he didn't even need to audition, which I think is interesting. So once he got the role, he trained for 4 months in Budapest and he used this fitness regimen that was made by an ex-Navy SEAL member. So the director describes his performance, and I feel like this is pretty on the money, as being, quote, a cross between a psychopath killer, an Olympic sword master, a snake, and Mick Jagger. And then Austin Butler, in typical Austin Butler fashion, he started researching past cultures that he felt bred brutality. And then he also said that he took inspiration from various animals, including sharks and snakes. I don't know. I guess he thought that those ones were like the most psychotic. Anyway, I just thought it was all worth it. Like, honestly, the reason why I saw Dune 2 for a second time was mostly for Austin Butler. He just did an incredible shot. Something else that was cool when I watched this for the second time, I noticed that any scene that they do on like the Harkonnen planet where the evil people are, it's in black and white when it's outside, which gives it this really sinister feel. But then I noticed in the captions when I watched the movie again, they said under the black sun of whatever the fuck planet it is. So I guess, you know, when you're outside in the sun on that planet, it's only black and white. But they did all of these scenes on that planet with this black and white infrared camera, and it gave the movie such this incredible, like, it almost felt like you were in a different reality. It was really, really cool. And the Harkonnens, these evil bald people on the planet, they didn't have them ever applaud in like big crowd scenes when they're watching a fight or when a parade is going on, and instead they had them cheering and stomping. So they did all of these little tiny minute things to make them seem way more brutal and aggressive than, you know, other cultures on these different planets in the world would be. Now, over on Arrakis, which I believe is the Dune sandy planet, they filmed a lot of these scenes in different remote locations in Jordan, and they would film them all during golden hour because a lot of these scenes, it's either like sunrise, sunset. They talk a lot about the different moons and the suns on the planet. So a lot of the different scenes on Arrakis would be filmed within this 1 hour window because they, you know, only had one golden hour lighting opportunity to do so. So that basically meant that all of the scenes that took place on Arrakis, it took months and months to do them. And one of the best scenes in the movie is when Timothée Chalamet gets up on a sandworm and he, if you haven't seen the movie, I'm going to sound so insane, but he rides the sandworm and it's like a really big deal. That scene, which to be fair was probably like a 5-7 minute scene, but it took over 3 months to film, and each individual shoot would only be about 20 to 30 minutes long because they had to do it like with the right lighting. And when they filmed some of these scenes, obviously, like I said, some of them were done in different areas of Jordan, but other scenes had to be done in this huge warehouse, and they would have this huge industrial fan that would blow sand on them to kind of, you know, mimic what it's like to be in that desert climate. What's interesting too is that Austin Butler and Timothée Chalamet, they have this incredible like fight scene, knife scene at the end. And apparently they both had to train with these different instructors in LA. And it was the first scene that they did when they met up in Budapest to start working on the film together. The scene's really good. And it was interesting. The first time I watched the movie, I was just like, cool, cool fight scene. Then I did the research for this episode. So then the second time I saw the movie, it's very obvious to tell Austin Butler is way better in that scene than Timothée Chalamet is. And, you know, hopefully once the movie's out of the theaters, you'll be able to rewatch it on YouTube. And I think that's because Austin Butler had those 4 months of training in Budapest, where it seems like Timothée Chalamet, they were more focused on like the sandworm scenes, etc. But in those different fight scenes that they do together, Austin Butler, his motions are so measured and sure of himself. And Timothée Chalamet, it reminded me of me when I try to do like a TikTok dance. I end up kind of doing an Irish jig, like I hop too many times because I'm trying to get like a move right. So I almost look like I'm bouncing up and down. And if you watch that fight scene between the two of them, you know, Austin Butler will do a scene and he'll plant his foot somewhere or move, and Timothée Chalamet will kind of hop, hop around, hippity hop. It was just very interesting to watch because obviously in the movie, Timothée Chalamet is supposed to be this incredible fighter. And he is, you know, he's good enough at it. Nobody compared to Austin Butler. He was just so fucking good in that role. Today's episode is brought to you by Way. Way Hair Care. We all know how time consuming it is to style your hair. For me, I actually take the time to watch 45-minute Ugly Betty episodes each time I straighten my hair because that's how long it takes. So if you want a little bit of time back in your day and to feel good about your hair, check out Way's new anti-frizz cream. It has this incredible North Bondi scent, and it also helps with heat damage, which I feel like all of us are basically using heat on our hair at this point. You can also check out some more of Way's bestsellers. They have a leave-in conditioner that also fights frizz. They have an incredible detox shampoo. I see everybody using this on TikTok. Detox shampoo, it's like the new thing. I thought that I had a, you know, messed up scalp until I started using it. And they have hair oil and that beautiful hair gloss that I've talked about before. So you can frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter the promo code FLUENTLY. You'll get 15% off any product. That's theouai.com with the promo code FLUENTLY. Okay, so let's get into some of the general blind items and gossip about the cast in this movie, and then we'll cover some of the individual cast members that were the focus of this movie. So one of the big things I want to talk about is that there were tons of different rumors that the cast did not like each other during the press interviews. Obviously, the press interviews for this movie was ridiculous. They were doing so many different, you know, Zendaya was, do you remember that outfit she did where she was like a robot, but her butt cheeks were out there, but she somehow still looked chic for whatever reason. They were going to all these different premieres all over the world. You know, they were obviously doing the press tour, circuit tour. They were doing different like TikTok trends and everything like that. So they were really putting their pussy to the floor when it comes to press. And the four of them, Timothée Chalamet, Zendaya, Austin Butler, and Florence Pugh, even though there's not a lot of scenes really with the four of them together, they were kind of obviously like the young ones for the cast. So they were doing a lot of promo for the movie to get the younger audience to watch. And they went on Jimmy Kimmel Live, and there was this awkward moment where Jimmy Kimmel, who, by the way, I fucking hate Jimmy Kimmel. If you haven't listened to our Patreon episode yet about why I hate Jimmy Kimmel, it's more than just that, but he just, I don't know. He's just so fucking like smug to me. He's just so like, I'm the best. Like, I don't know, whatever. Like, I do know. I talked about it for over an hour. And he used to have this gross thing called the Man Show where he was like making fun of toxic masculinity. But his way of making fun of it was by leaning into it. So he would do all of these sketches where he's like groping women's boobs or making their skirt blow up with a fan. And then he's like, see, it's our note on toxic masculinity. And it's like, no, it's not. You're just being a pig. I hate him. Anyway, the four of them were on Jimmy Kimmel Live, and he asked them at one point, do you guys socialize outside of the movie? And they responded very awkwardly, which, to be fair, it could be due to the fact that Jimmy Kimmel said, do you guys socialize outside of the movie? That's such a weird way to ask it. Like, you're being awkward. Do you know what I mean? So of course it's going to garner an awkward response. But I'm going to insert a little bit of the clip here. Just note how awkward it is. Timothée Chalamet carries most of the conversation. And then Zendaya does this thing that she's been doing on the press interview tours. It's really fascinating to me because Zendaya is so fucking cool. She's so cool. She's so chic. She's so like high fashion. She looks incredible in her fashion. She's dating Tom Holland, and I feel like the two of them are very cool. They're not being annoying at all. Do you know what I mean? Like anytime she's in an interview or a lip sync battle, she's just cool, right? She's just cool. But some of her press tour interviews lately have been a little bit awkward, and I realized what it was. It was giving me Hillary Clinton, Kamala Harris energy, and I realized that Zendaya on the press tour is giving the vibe of a boomer who's trying to act like Gen Z. Do you know what I mean? Like when somebody tries to be hip with the lingo, like, hey, fellow kids, how are you doing? When Justin Timberlake gets on TikTok with a bucket hat and he's like, hey guys, guess I should try TikTok. And it's funny because I feel like Zendaya in all of these interviews, and you'll notice it when I put the clip in, she's like, well, of course we hang out. Like, you know, we're just kids hanging out. Like we love to socialize, don't we? And it's just giving like boomer trying to seem cool. And it's like, but Zendaya, like you are the cool person already. So anyway, check out a little bit of this clip and then we will check back in after it.
Yeah. And you have, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you guys don't even like each other. I really don't know. But you, it seems that, and from what I hear you, the four of you have really formed a bond. You socialize with each other?
Yeah, I mean, we interact on talk shows like these.
It's the most natural way to do it.
In the most natural way. we're all most comfortable. But I think, you know, speaking personally, I have great friendships with everyone here, and Zendaya helped me set up my first apartment in New York years ago.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What does that mean, set up the apartment?
Well, it was the vibe was very teenage boy.
Okay.
And, you know, we just needed a few necessities, you know, cups and plates and
knives and forks.
Knives and forks.
A pillow, a bed, maybe.
Things to
there was a bed.
Clean.
There was a bed.
As you is. Know, we just.
There was
you
a
know,
bed. No bed frame.
We need some structure.
Yeah.
So you took him to Bed Bath & Beyond or something?
Yeah,
and
we got everything he needed.
Got all the stuff?
All the big boy stuff.
It was literally Bed Bath & Beyond.
Was it really?
It was literally,
that was my favorite shop.
Yeah.
Did you have one of those coupons that come in the mail?
No.
You missed out on that.
Those
part.
Coupons put them out of business, I think, really.
Yeah. I think they went out of business.
Yeah, they're beyond now. They're beyond.
Now, people on Reddit were talking a little bit about that clip from the Jimmy Kimmel show, and this was an interesting comment. I don't know how true it is. Or it's just a rumor. But somebody said Tom Holland was supposed to get the part of Wonka, and then Timothée Chalamet got it out from under him. I think that could be part of the reason why things seem weird. Now, I don't know if that's real, right? It's just a rumor. That being said, Tom Holland would have done such a good job at Wonka. And look, I'll tell you, and I saw Wonka. I got invited to the premiere here in Denver. Timothée Chalamet was not serving Wonka to me. He just wasn't. Like, I don't know. And his singing, you know, it was the type of singing that Emma Watson did for Beauty and the Beast, where you're like, okay, like that's a person singing, but it's not. I just feel like Tom Holland would have done it better. Anyway, so who knows if that's, you know, part of the reason why it was awkward. I do feel like Timothée Chalamet and Zendaya were more buddy-buddy during the first movie press interview, but we're going to find out more about that when we get into the blinds. But yeah, that interview went a little bit viral, and it led a lot of people online to speculate that different people didn't like each other. A lot of them were claiming that the rest of the cast is, quote, tolerating Austin Butler, but Zendaya is legitimately friends with Timothée Chalamet. And something else interesting that I found when I was doing research on this is that there is a Timothée Chalamet snark page on Reddit, which is so fascinating because men usually don't ever get one. And what was interesting too is that like they hate Timothée Chalamet. I thought girls loved Timothée Chalamet because they just had a crush on him. There was an entire page dedicated to like every magazine cover where he looks a little bit weird, or like every interview where he says something a little bit off. I felt like it was so out of body watching people do something like that to a man. And they also, in that snark page, they fucking hate Kylie Jenner and they hate him being with her. Like every week there's like a breakup watch and like they're hoping that they break up, and they really want Timothée Chalamet to be with Zendaya. It's just so interesting, these like little corners of like pockets of the internet that you don't know exist. Okay, so let's get into some of the Dune blind items here. The meme actor, Timothy Chalamet, and his recent co-star, Florence Pugh, do everything together and hang out all the time during this press run. They are inseparable. They reached out to their actress co-star, Zendaya, who was horribly overbilled in the first installment, but she always turns down their invitations. Now, I don't know if there's anything too juicy in that. The second one is a lot juicier. But that being said, Timothy and Chalamet and Florence Pugh have worked together. They were both in Little Women together. And also Zendaya turning down their invitation to hang out. I don't think anything too much of that because she's always saying in interviews that she's such an introvert. We don't really see her out and about, you know, like going crazy or doing anything. Timothy Chalamet, he fucking gets around, dude. He like parties. He's friends with like so many different groups of people in Hollywood that I would not think he would be friends with. But that one, it wasn't too juicy. But then the next blind item, the next week it goes, in the past week, I discussed Timothy Chalamet and Florence Pugh hanging out together all the time. It turns out that it isn't quite as platonic as they led everyone to believe. And when we get into the Timothy Chalamet blind items, they basically just all say, to sum it up, he's either in an open relationship with Kylie Jenner or he is fucking his way around the globe. Okay, that's basically what they say. So was Florence Pugh a part of that? Who knows? I think everyone's just happy that she's not with Zach Braff anymore. Now, there was a little bit of like legitimate news that could maybe support these blind items. Apparently, Timothée Chalamet and Florence Pugh had to be kept separate and away from each other during Dune because they were too buddy-buddy with each other. So the Dune director, Denis, he was in a piece for Time, and he basically said that Florence Pugh and Timothée Chalamet had to be kept separate on the set because they would get into shenanigans whenever they weren't filming. And then Florence Pugh kind of confirmed that when she did an interview with Fandango, and they said to her, I was reading that you guys had to be separated on set because you were having so much fun, and I know that you like calling him Shalamala Bing Bong, which I guess is her nickname for him, Timothée Chalamet. She calls him Shalamala Bing Bong. And then Florence Pugh responded, well, my gran calls him Shalamala Bing Bong, so blah, 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 blah. And then I think Timothy Chalamet also responded with like a little flirt. He said, and we know how much you respect your grandparents from the last interview. So that is just them being playful, you know, just like, for example, Jennifer Lawrence and Liam Hemsworth from The Hunger Games. Now, that being said, there were also rumors that the two of them were hooking up on the press tour. So who knows? Who knows? Now, what else was going on sexually and allegedly during this press tour? We have a blind item here about Austin Butler. And it says, while doing press for what will get him an Oscar nomination, this actor, allegedly Austin Butler, has been shacking up with one of the publicists and not his celebrity girlfriend, Kaia Gerber. Maybe that is why the focus has been on him and not the other actors who are higher on the list. Maybe. Maybe the focus has been on Austin Butler for Dune 2 because he's been boinking his publicist. But I could tell you why the focus was on him. Did you see him? Like, I can't stop. Like, I am really sucking his dick. But, like, I cannot stop talking about how good he was in Dune 2. He was better than Timothée Chalamet. He absolutely, he was so good. He was so, so good in the movie. Go watch it just for him alone. Okay. Now, this was another blind item about who was hooking up with people during Dune 2. Javier Bardem, he was in the first and second Dune movie. He was really good in the second one. He's like the leader of the Fremen. He kind of had a lot of the comedic lines in the movie. He was just like, I would say he was probably my number two favorite person acting in it after, of course, Austin Butler. I can't get his name out of my mouth. Okay, this blind item was allegedly about him. Without his A-list wife there, Penelope Cruz, this foreign-born A-list mostly movie actor, Javier Bardem, has been sleeping with as many women as he can while shooting out of the country. I could see it. I don't know. I just always, when in doubt, I just think everybody's cheating on each other. Which, by the way, topical news, Sacha Baron Cohen and Isla Fisher are divorced, and they announced it. But apparently they got divorced like a year ago, but they just announced it recently. Interesting. I wonder if it's because he's kind of on the downfall now, especially with like the Rebel Wilson drama of her calling him like an asshole in her memoir or something. But when we did a Wedding Crashers Patreon episode like 2 years ago, I was looking up blind items for Isla Fisher, and I thought that her and Sacha Baron Cohen were like absolutely unproblematic Hollywood couple, be together forever. They're both kind of funny in comedies, like, oh my god, like I don't know, make me believe in love. Not that any Hollywood celebrity couple does that, but that was kind of the vibe. And all of their blind items was like, he cheats on her, he cheats on her, he cheats on her here, he cheats on her there, he cheats on her in your underwear, up, down, everywhere. And I remember there was a specific blind item too, that like his personal assistant or something like that was someone that he was cheating on her with. And I was like, oh my God, that sucks. So who knows? It sounded like it was amicable when they announced it, but those are the blind items from like years past. And I did that episode like 2 years ago. Okay, we have a blind item here about Timothy Chalamet. It says the meme actor was being his usual jerk self when he made a flight attendant cry on an international flight. And that's something too, like for this episode, I'm really only pulling blinds from the last like 2 to 3 years, but Timothy Chalamet has kind of always had blind items about him just being like a dick, just being rude to people, just being impolite, etc. This next blind item really tickled my fancy. Oh my God, this was juicy. It's allegedly about Austin Butler. It says this A-minus list mostly movie actor who was a lock for an Oscar nomination the next time around really did cause some damage when he slept with the sister of his girlfriend. And people are alleging that that is when he was dating Vanessa Hudgens, that he allegedly slept with Stella Hudgens. And I had been wondering why they broke up. I don't know if that was it, but it seems like things are a little frosty between them right now. Stella Hudgens and Vanessa Hudgens, they were sisters that kind of gave me the same vibe as Bella Thorne and her sister Danny Thorne. And they remind me of each other because they're both like Disney girls who have a sister that's close in their age and who kind of act a little bit sexual with their sister, okay? I know it's weird, but I'm just going to say it. Like, I used to follow both of them heavily, and I just feel like the Hudgens and the Thorne sisters would, like, I don't know, just take these photos together that I'm like, I don't know if I would take that photo with my sister. Do you know what I mean? And of course, maybe I also think that because there have been blind items about like sisters yachting together for years, which like, I don't want to dive into it. It sounds crazy. But some of those blind items had been associated with them in years past. Okay, another blind item about Dune. The meme actor, allegedly Timothy Chalamet, has been pushing for his current co-star, Taylor Russell, to replace the one named actress Zendaya in a movie franchise, Dune. The current co-star is about to hit it really big, and an Oscar nomination seems very likely for this new movie. I definitely think Dune is going to do very well in the awards. That being said, you know, there were so many blind items when the first Dune movie came out that basically said that Timothy Chalamet was like jealous, basically, of like having to work with Zendaya. Which is true, like she wasn't really in that much of the first movie, but I mean, let's be honest, she was in a little bit of the first movie. And you know who wasn't in the second movie at all, but still went to the premiere and like got paid? Anya Taylor-Joy. She plays like this baby who hasn't even been born yet in Dune 2, and she's in the movie for maybe 7 seconds. I think it's even less. And like she's going to the premiere, like she's doing all of this shit, so it's like, anyway, whatever. That being said, if this blind item is true, I don't think it is because, like, what? He's pushing for Taylor Russell to take over for Zendaya? Like, that's insane. She was in the first movie. It's a huge franchise. You can't just, like, replace somebody. I don't know. Unless it's the Aquaman franchise, but whatever. Okay, the next item here. Emmy Awards. This A-list actress, allegedly Zendaya, threatened to quit the movie she is filming if she is not allowed to take several trips this month, including to the Emmy Awards. It is one of the reasons why the meme actor wants her replaced. So now we've got two alleged blind items about her getting replaced. I just can't see it happening. She's like a huge draw to the movie. Anyway, who knows? Now, Rebecca Ferguson. Oh my God. She plays Jessica in Dune, and she, after Austin Butler, I think she was the standout star. She was incredible. She's part of the Bene Gesserit, if that's how you say it. It's like this group of religious women, and only women can be in the religious group. And it's everything I have fucking wanted from a movie since forever. Like, you guys know, whenever I talk about the Avengers movies or superhero movies, I get so upset because they have these female superheroes, but they try to beef up their power by only giving them masculine traits. And they're like, ooh, if you want to be a strong woman in like Game of Thrones or the Avengers or like some sort of Marvel thing, you have to have no emotion. You have to like not be nice. You have to be a snarky bitch, and you have to be super powerful, like Hulk smash, like huge muscles, big strength. And it's always just pissed me off because A, I do feel like there is something a little dangerous in the fact that, like, you will watch these action movies and a tiny, like, 90-pound girl will, like, punch a big guy and he'll fall to the ground. And I'm like, it's not like that. There was a movie that Charlize Theron was in, Atomic Blonde, and there's this scene, you can look it up on YouTube, of her in this giant fight scene on this, like, staircase. And everybody says, you know, on those things on YouTube where it's like, a guy who actually does martial arts reviews scenes of fight movies and tells you if they're true, or like an ex-CIA guy tells you if the James Bond movies are accurate, whatever. But there's a bunch of people who are involved in fighting and those physical forms, and they watch that scene from Atomic Blonde and they're like, it is so dead on. And it's a fight scene that's really hard to watch. It's not like the glamorous James Bond ones, because she is this, like, she's tiny. She's like Charlize Theron, and she's going up against these guys and she's doing everything she can to try and bring them down. But because of, like, her frame versus theirs, she's having to, like, whip around and do acrobatics and, like, use other things. And the fight scene goes on for like 15 minutes and she's really getting the shit kicked out of her. Like, it's not easy, but that's how it would be in real life. Anyway, but I've always said when it comes to female superheroes, we need a female superhero who can revive people from the dead, right? Maybe she reanimates corpses, and that could be cool because that's like a womanly trait of giving life and giving birth to something. Or maybe you have a female superhero and her idea is idea generation, right? She like creates life, or she creates new ideas, or maybe her power is healing, or maybe her power is collaboration and she could take health from one person and give it to the next, almost like the placenta. Like, there's so many cool ideas here to represent different forms of like womanly female power. And I just feel like the Marvel movies are always just like Hulk smash, but on a girl with boobies. And it's just like, I don't know. I just like don't like it. It's always been a pet peeve of mine. But in the Dune 2 movie, and I guess the book, they have the Bene Gesserit. I hope I'm saying it right. I'm like a 101 fan of this. Like, I haven't read the book or anything. But it's these group of women, and they basically pull the strings behind the scenes. And they use powers of manipulation, and they gather intelligence, and they figure out what makes people tick and how they can control these people, like little puppet masters who are in charge. And they use seduction, and they use not telekinesis, but like when you read minds or you talk to each other through your minds. And it was just such a cool way to see women represented as this really powerful force, but not in like a Hulk smash type of way. And I absolutely loved it. I thought it was like the coolest part of the movie. But that being said, I was reading some interviews with the director, Denis, and he was saying that he gave Rebecca Ferguson a much bigger part in the movie than she had in the book because he wanted to focus on that aspect of it. I thought it was a great decision. And then I read this blind item and I went, what impacted his decision? It says, the director from the long-awaited one-word sequel to the reboot of a year or so ago, so I'm assuming that would be Denis with Dune, is sleeping with one of the main leads. And I don't think it's Zendaya, so I would just assume maybe it's Rebecca Ferguson. How fucking incredible is she? We're going to do a little deep dive on her after these blind items, but like Lady Jessica, she just had the coolest costumes. She had the coolest plot. I just thought it was absolutely fantastic. Okay, the next blind item here. These blind items here are now about the first Dune movie, so these are going to be a few years old. To the media, the meme actor Timothée Chalamet says one thing about his one named co-star, Zendaya. Behind the scenes, the language he uses is horrific. A similar blind item from the first Dune movie says the meme actor, Timothée Chalamet, was once again trashing the one named A-minus list actress with whom he stars in a very recent movie. He said that she was getting way too much publicity for 2 minutes of screen time where all she does is move her head and smile. And then the last blind item we have here about, allegedly, Timothée Chalamet for the first Dune movie says, while filming overseas, this A-minus list mostly movie actor, who is an Academy Award winner nominee, has made not just fans in this movie mad about his lies, why he can't take photos with them, but he is also ticking off his much more famous co-stars who think he is being awful. Apparently, that guy who is by his side every second of the day and night is really nice, though. So a few things in that blind item, because it's a little bit wordy. They were basically saying that, like, he's a dick. It's been going around for years. Like, Timothée Chalamet is just like rude. He's like a dick. But then again, I think the solution to that would be to get more male actors out there. Like, I think we're really at such a loss for like good male actors. And I think it was somebody, maybe it was Christy over on one of our Patreon episodes, but she was basically saying like, Here's my question to you. If you had to cast a rom-com, who would you put in it? Like, I have a bunch of girls that could be in it. But for a guy, you really only have, right now we have Glenn Powell, Timothée Chalamet, Austin Butler, Jacob Elordi, Tom Holland. And, like, none of these guys other than Jacob Elordi, none of them are, like, the Matthew McConaughey, the Brad Pitt, like, the Leonardo DiCaprio of our time. I just feel like we're really at a loss. And it's crazy because, like, every movie I see, like, Timothée Chalamet is in it. And I know that we're not at a loss of actors. Like, everyone in the world is, like, trying to be an actor right now and trying to catch their big break. So I don't know why they keep casting Timothée Chalamet, but he is kind of, like, the quote-unquote Leonardo DiCaprio of our time. Like, him and Austin Butler, because Tom Holland just does the Avengers movies. Like, I'm trying to think of who else is, like, a young, incredible, like, if you have a deep, big movie to do, who would you put on it? It's either, like, Timothée Chalamet or Austin Butler. Anyway, so that's probably why he has such a big head, because everybody's like, he is the next Leonardo DiCaprio, blah, blah, blah. And then the last sentence of that blind item, I think, is trying to allege that there was a guy who was by his side a lot when he was filming Dune. He's gay. I think that's probably what the blind item is trying to say. You know what I say, everyone is pansexual until they tell me otherwise. Today's episode of Fluently Forward is brought to you by Pair Eyewear, and you can wear it too. We're talking about different musicians in this episode. Maybe you want to be a little bit like Bono and wear your sunglasses at night and everywhere you go, and you can do that very easily because Pair lets you basically snap on all of these different frames, and they also have sun tops. So as the weather is starting to get warmer, at least here in the States, you can just snap on their sun tops and have your sunglasses with you on the go in a bunch of different varieties, whatever personal style or color that you want. Also, this is just my tip to you. If you have allergies like I do, you should be wearing sunglasses because it protects from all the pollen and everything getting into your eyes. Anyway, that's just, I wear my sunglasses not to look cool, but to make sure my allergies are kept at bay. And you can do so fashionably with Pair's sun tops, the ultimate companion for long days on the go. So one pair gives you infinite possibilities. Go to Pair Eyewear and use code Shannon for 15% off your first pair, and support the show by mentioning that Fluently Forward sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's P-A-I-R eyewear.com with code Shannon. Okay, so let's cover a little bit of the two standouts of the movie, which for me, I'm going to be covering Rebecca Ferguson and Timothée Chalamet. Not standouts in my favorite, but standouts as in they had the most screen time. Dune 2 was kind of mostly about them. So Rebecca Ferguson, like I said, she played Lady Jessica. She was so fucking cool in this. So she is a Swedish actress. She started her acting career with a Swedish soap opera. Then she went on to star in the slasher film Drowning Ghost. She was also too in some of the Mission Impossible movies with Tom Cruise, and she was good in that. She's really good at action. She's really good at playing, like, she just has that type of face. And this is something that Christy and I were talking about over on Patreon. Like, Florence Pugh has costume face. She has Renaissance face. She has put me in a ball gown face. Keira Knightley has, like, put me in a corset, medieval times type of face. Madison Beer has road lip gloss and, like, go on Instagram live type of face. And Rebecca Ferguson just has, like, smart face. Do you know what I mean? Like, you look at her and you're just like, she's beautiful, but she also has brains. Like, I don't know how to describe it. Versus someone like, I hate to say it, okay, I'm just gonna say it, Sydney Sweeney. Like, she doesn't have smart face, you know? Anyway, Apple Podcast is where you go if you want to give me a one star for that. Anyway, I just feel like she has smart face. Do you know what I mean? So, like, she's always playing somebody who is with it and kind of pulling the strings behind and, like, has a little bit of a secret. And I feel like she's good at that. So I said she's a Swedish actress. She was born in Stockholm. Her mother is English. She moved from Britain to Sweden at the age of 25. And this is a really cool fun fact. Her mother helped ABBA translate the lyrics from their album Waterloo into English in 1974. Isn't that so crazy? Also, Rebecca Ferguson, like I said, she is beautiful. When she was just 13, she started working as a model, and she appeared in magazine and on TV commercials for, like, jewelry advertisements, for clothes, for makeup, all of that. And she also started dancing at a very early age, ballet, tap and jazz, funk and tango. And then she taught Argentine tango at a dance company in Sweden for a few years, which makes sense because the Argentine tango is, like, the hottest dance you could ever do. Oh my God. which, by the way, another Dune reference, if you want to see another person on Dune do the Argentine tango, Zendaya was on Dancing with the Stars a few years ago, and I think she might have been, because I think like her dance partner tried to hit on her, and he asked how old she was, and she said her age, and he was like, "Ugh, never mind." Was she under 18? She couldn't be, because like to be on Dancing with the Stars. Oh my God. Oh my God, she was 16 when she was on the show. Oh my God. She was the youngest contestant ever to participate on the show. I was about to be like, that's illegal, but I guess she was like a child star, so it's not that big of a deal. But yeah, she was young when she was on Dancing with the Stars. Have some fun tonight, you know? Pour yourself a glass of wine and go through one of the YouTube playlists of every dance that Zendaya does on Dancing with the Stars. It's so good. And her Argentine, or Argentine, whatever, her tango was good. Oh, it's such a sexy dance. Anyway, like I said, she was also in Mission Impossible, and I just want to mention that because it's going to come up again in some blind items. And then you might also know her from this. This like set off something in my brain. She was in The Greatest Showman. So I guess she's worked with Zendaya before, I'm realizing now. She was the Swedish opera singer. What was her name? Jenny Lind or whatever, that Hugh Jackman kind of, you know, has a little bit of a thing with. Anyway, I remember she was beautiful in that. She's beautiful in this. She's just beautiful all the time. So she has two children. In 2007, she gave birth to a son with her then boyfriend, Ludwig Hallberg. He was a psychosynthesis therapist. I had to look this up a little bit on Wikipedia because I was like, what the fuck does this mean? It's a type of psychology that talks about finding a deeper self of identity, which I think is very interesting because I feel like there's a lot of different cults or religion or different like techniques that basically say let go of your ego, like let go of your sense of self. It doesn't mean anything, like you are not your own self. And it seems from what I briefly read about this, that this was all about like diving into your character, which I love because I'm always taking those Myers-Briggs and Enneagram quizzes, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, so then after she took off on the soap opera, and she ended up giving birth to her son. She then moved with this man. Then they broke up in 2015. And ever since, she's been in a relationship with this businessman. And then they had a daughter together. So she has two kids. And I just always find that, I always like that. You know, when somebody's in the industry and they date people who aren't like fellow actors and actresses, to me, it always seems a little bit healthier. I feel like it always usually goes a little bit better. Okay, let's get into the Rebecca Ferguson blind items. So this blind item says, going back to the movie in blind item number 12 and 13, the lead actress in the movie, Rebecca Ferguson, thinks that the foreign-born, full-frontal actor is a pig. That was the kindest thing that she said to him when he hit on her after hanging up the phone with his girlfriend. She prefers working with actors who are closeted. She pretends and they pretend and things work out well. No wonder she has multiple movies in the next year with such lead actors. So the lead actor part of it, I think that blind item is alleging that that's why she likes to work with Tom Cruise. And that's why she likes doing Mission Impossible movies with him, because allegedly he's closeted and he won't hit on her. Now, who is the other actor that she said was a total pig and he hit on her? We don't know, but she has kind of given her own blind item, which was really interesting. So she did an interview with The Rain with Josh Smith, that podcast, and she basically talked about a very difficult experience that she had with a former actor once on a movie set. So I'm going to tell you what she said, and then we'll talk about who we think it is and who it definitely isn't. So she was talking about like this hard experience that she had with an actor, and she said, quote, I remember there was a moment and this human being was being so insecure and angry because this person couldn't get the scenes out. And I was so vulnerable and uncomfortable that I got screamed at. But because this person was number one on a call sheet, there was no safety net for me. No one had my back, and I would walk crying off of set. She then says that this mystery person would say things to her like, quote, you call yourself an actor and this is what I have to work with. And that would be all in front of the film's crew. And she said, quote, I stood there just breaking. So then she continues and she said that she resolved the next day to challenge this mystery person and tell him to get off my set. She was really scared about the confrontation, but she says, quote, I looked at this person and I said, you can F off. I'm going to work towards a tennis ball. Now, I have to interject here because the way she told the story was kind of confusing. I was like, what the fuck? You're going to work towards a tennis ball? And what that meant was basically, you know, like when you're doing a scene talking to someone and the camera is just filming your face as you're like talking to someone. She spoke to a tennis ball. So she would like talk to a tennis ball rather than having to look at the person in the face, so that way you can still do your part of the lines without having to like be in proximity with that person. Anyway, so then she continues and basically said that she went to the director on set afterwards and was like, what is happening? And the director said, you're right. I'm not taking care of everyone else. I'm trying to fluff this person because it's so unstable. And it was just a really hard person to deal with. Now, she said that and everybody was like, who is she talking about? Who's this like incredibly difficult person to work with who screams at his co-stars? She said herself that it wasn't Hugh Jackman or Tom Cruise. And then Dwayne Johnson kind of took himself out of online speculation because he like retweeted a quote of hers and he was like, wow, I hate that this happened, but I love seeing her stand up to such bullshit. So I guess that was his way of saying it's not me. Everybody is basically speculating that it's Michael Fassbender. And there's so much nasty stuff about him. I could totally see it being true. Now, the last blind item about her, I just want to reference it here because it's not Lady Jessica, okay? There's a blind item about Rebecca Ferguson, and it says, I love that this foreign-born A-list singer in her country is speaking out about awful foreign deals and awful management. Let's not forget, though, about her being super sketchy about keeping a timeline so the world wouldn't find out that she was sleeping with the underage boy bander. And that's because Zayn from One Direction once dated someone named Rebecca Ferguson. It's not our Rebecca Ferguson. It is a different person. So I just wanted to say that in case you read a blind item and you're like, oh my God, like Lady Jessica from Dune dated Zayn. She didn't. Today's episode of Fluently Forward is brought to you by Babbel. If you are looking for the best way to learn a language, and obviously immersion is not possible for any of us, you can try Babbel to learn a new language. I know everybody here who listens to Fluently Forward speaks the Fluently Forward language, which basically means that as you're reading tabloids, very much in love equals PR relationship. Dehydration and exhaustion equals this pop star can't do the concert because they are hungover. But if you are interested in learning a new conversational language, you should check out Babbel. I have been loving using Babbel because it really helps you to learn real life conversation skills. It does not, I just remember being in Spanish classes in high school and conjugating nouns and verbs, but I had no idea how I could actually speak to another person in Spanish. You get the opposite of that experience with Babbel. It's fantastic. They even have studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others that prove that Babbel is better. And one study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester of college. They have over 10 million subscriptions sold, and their 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. So we have a special limited-time deal for our Fluently Forward listeners. Right now, you can get 55% off of your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/fluently. You get 55% off at babbel.com/fluently. That is babbel.com/fluently. Rules and restrictions may apply. Okay, the last person that we are going to cover here, who obviously was the lead in Dune, is Timothy Chalamet, or as Florence Pugh would call him, Shalamala Bing Bong. I think it's funny. Okay, do I have any personal tea against Timothy Chalamet? I don't, but one of my friends dated a guy who dated his sister. There's nothing interesting there, but I don't know. It's like a little level of connection, whatever. So he started his career as a teenager in TV. He was in the drama series Homeland in 2012. And then, I couldn't believe this, he was in the Christopher Nolan movie Interstellar with Matthew McConaughey. When I saw that on Wikipedia, I had to Google it. I was like, no, he wasn't. I was like, that was Matthew McConaughey and Anne Hathaway. No, he was in it. He was like a little kid in it. Anyway, apparently it was more memorable to other people than it was to me, because after he was in Interstellar, he had to drop out of school because it was like too distracting to have him in there because of all of his fame with Interstellar. I was like, what the fuck? Because to me, I thought Timothy Chalamet started existing in this world when he was in Call Me By Your Name in 2017, and that took the world and Tumblr by absolute storm. And then, of course, after that, he was in Lady Bird, he was in Little Women, he was in Beautiful Boy, he was in Bones and All. He was in that awful Netflix movie, Don't Look Up. Don't Look Up, more like Don't Watch It. Stupid. It was such a bad movie, and it was so long. And it was all of like these celebrities being like, climate change, climate change. I was like, and we're all watching this. I've literally never flown on a private jet once. Fuck off. That was also the movie where I think, let me look up the actual numbers of it. Because Jennifer Lawrence was in it. Yeah, this was it. Leonardo DiCaprio was in the stupid, I cannot stress how bad of a movie it was on Netflix. He was in Don't Look Up, and he got $30 million for the movie. This is like insane. And Jennifer Lawrence got $25 million for the movie. And there were all these think pieces because Jennifer Lawrence was earning 83 cents to his dollar. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what the fuck? She got 20, like, it's just obscene. Like, to make more than $5 million off that movie is insane. And I was just like, you're trying to get us, the common people, upset that she only earned 83 cents to his dollar. What are we doing talking about cents and dollars with people who earned over $25 and $30 million for a movie? These are the type of people that throw away their cents and dollar because they want their purse to be a little bit lighter as they go out shopping in Dubai. It's just like, what? Absolutely not. I was like so enraged when they were putting out all these think pieces. I was like, ooh, like the gender wage gap. Not with Jennifer Lawrence, who made $25 million on the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. I really can't stress how bad that movie was. But she did say once, didn't she, in an interview, that like the worst kiss of all time was like very tonguey or something, like her worst like on-screen kiss. And I think people like went through all of her on-screen kisses, and when her and Timothée Chalamet kiss in Don't Look Up, he looked like a very tonguey kisser, which is maybe why Zendaya didn't really want to kiss him in Dune, but whatever. Also, speaking of salary, Austin Butler, I thought this was like really, really insane because like Timothée Chalamet is making like $2 million for the movie. You know, this was the first Dune movie basically, which that's like a reasonable amount to make for a movie. What the fuck was Netflix doing with like $30 million? And whatever, like, this will be this and Joe Alwyn getting the Grammy for the work that he did on Folklore. Like, both those things will forever haunt me, even after I'm dead. But Austin Butler, who once again was the best part of the Dune 2 movie, he got $250,000 for his role. Isn't that crazy? Like, he probably took it because he knew that, like, you know, people would be like freaking out over his performance. But I'm like, oh my God, I would have thought he would have gotten like at least a milli for that or something. Anyway, so those, let's get back to Timothée Chalamet, right? He was in Dune. He was in Dune. He was in Willy Wonka. And he's about to be, he's about to portray Bob Dylan in a biopic, which I don't know how he's going to do playing Bob Dylan, but whatever. At this point, like, he needs different hair. Like, he really does. I just think it's kind of crazy. Like, Timothée Chalamet, no matter what he's in, he has different clothes on, but he has the same hair. And I feel like girls, it's always like, shave your head for this role, or like, do this, or like, you're doing that, or like, different colored contacts, or like, gain weight, lose weight, get a tan, do all of this stuff. And Timothée Chalamet just has like the same mop in every, you know, movie. Switch it up a little bit. I don't know. Anyway, and then I thought this was hilarious because I'm trying to put together a Wikipedia page for myself this week. Okay, embarrassing, but like that's a little bit behind the scenes, right? You got to fake it until you make it. But when I was doing research on what you have to do to put together your Wikipedia page, they were like, every single sentence in there needs to have some sort of citation, research, some sort of news article that has reported this fact that you can then cite. So I was like, okay, I got to have all my ducks in a row for when I do it. And there's a sentence in Timothée Chalamet's Wikipedia, and it says, off-screen, Chalamet has been labeled as a sex symbol and a fashion icon. And there's no citation for it. So I'm like, who put that in there? Was it him? Who's been calling Timothée Chalamet a sex symbol? There's no reference for it. There's no citation. So I think I'm going to go through the history and see who looked it up. Anyway, as you could probably tell from his last name, he is both French and he also has U.S. citizenship, but his father is French. He says that Heath Ledger's performance as the Joker inspired him to pursue a career in acting, along with everyone. Like, everyone went nuts for that Joker performance. It was, like, absolutely crazy. He went to a high school of music and performing arts, and this was really, really interesting. He did this audition, and his sophomore year drama teacher was the person who saw his audition, and he was so, so impressed by Timothée Chalamet's audition that he said he needed to go to the school despite the fact that his, I think, middle school, like, academic record was, like, really bad. But his audition blew this guy away, and he said, quote, I gave him the highest score I had ever given a kid auditioning. And then during high school, he dated Madonna's daughter, Lola Leon, who was a fellow student for a year. And I would like to direct you to my mini episode that I did about Timothy Chalamet and Kylie Jenner, because remember when they started dating? I feel like it was about a year ago. Every single person was like, why are they dating? It doesn't make sense. It's PR. It's a PR relationship. It's fake, 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 which I get that, right? Like when I saw Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton, or like Nick Jonas and Priyanka Chopra, when you see these people from like completely different spheres, you know, and one person is like, let's say, in reality sphere with the big butts and the lip gloss, and then the other person is in Call Me By Your Name and Little Women, like you don't really put them together. So I understand that. But I did find it a little bit misogynistic, because everybody kept saying, what is Timothy Chalamet doing with Kylie Jenner? They weren't saying, what is Kylie Jenner doing with Timothy Chalamet? Do you get my drift? So I did a little mini episode where I went through both of their dating history. And it makes perfect sense for Timothy to be dating Kylie, because just here, right, when he's dating Madonna's daughter and then he's dating Lily Rose Depp, like every person that Timothy dates is a Nepo baby. A Nepo baby with lip filler. Like, that is his type when you actually look at his dating history. Meanwhile, Kylie's dating history is like rapper. And I guess, you know, we have seen that iconic video of him rapping to Nicki Minaj when he was in this performing arts high school. Oh my God, I'm gonna insert some of that here. But I just found that interesting that everybody was like, I don't understand what he's doing with her. And it's like, just because he was in Call Me By Your Name doesn't mean that he's not some dickwad actor who wants to get his dick sucked by a girl with a big butt. But her butt is getting smaller now. Anyway, whatever. So then after he was in Call Me By Your Name, things really took off for him. And he was actually attached to that project of being in Call Me By Your Name for 3 years. So this was like a long time, big deal thing for him. And in preparation for the role, he actually learned how to speak Italian and also how to play the piano and guitar, which I find is kind of fun. You know how everybody wants to learn those skills? It's like everyone's like bucket list. Oh, one day I'll learn Italian. One day I'll learn how to play the piano. How fun to be able to get paid to learn those hobbies and skills for the rest of your life. So obviously when he was in Call Me By Your Name, people went absolutely bananas for it. There was this quote from a critic. It says, in a film in which every performance is terrific, Chalamet makes the rest look like they're acting. He alone would make the film worth watching. So good. It really was so good. And then he was in, remember, oh my God, he was in the Woody Allen rom-com A Rainy Day in New York. And maybe he just has really bad chemistry with people too, because now that I'm thinking about it, him and Selena Gomez were in that movie, and him and Selena Gomez were not giving me realistic chemistry. But then again, I feel like Selena Gomez wasn't giving me chemistry when she was with Cara Delevingne. So I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, when he was obviously in that Woody Allen movie, there was a lot of controversy. A lot of people were like, what the fuck are you doing working with Woody Allen? And then Timothy Chalamet put out this statement being like, because of my contract, like I cannot answer any questions about working with Woody Allen. But then the Huffington Post got a copy of his contract, and there wasn't anything in there that said, oh, you can't answer questions about working with Woody Allen. So that was a lie. But then he donated his salary from that movie to the charities Time's Up, the LGBT Center of New York, and Rain. And he didn't promote the film. So I guess that's good. But then there was a little bit of more tea, because Woody Allen put out his memoir in 2020. And he said in his memoir that Timothy Chalamet told Woody Allen's sister that he only denounced Woody Allen so that way he could try to improve his chances of winning an Academy Award for Call Me By Your Name. Ooh, isn't that so interesting? All the politics of it, you know, what all these people say and do just to try to get what they want. Okay, and then the Wikipedia section of personal time had nothing. They were just like, he rarely discusses the romantic aspects of his personal life. Well, lucky for you, I do. So we're going to talk about it, because like I said, he is currently dating Kylie Jenner. So all of his recent blind items from the past year, like all of them, except two, are all about him and Kylie Jenner. So here we go. The meme actor Timothée Chalamet was not using the reality star for publicity for his new movie. He was using her for sex. And this is where we're going to get into a lot of blind items that basically allege that Timothée Chalamet and Kylie Jenner were like fuck buddies before they got serious. Are they serious? The blind items say no. I think yes. I don't know why. I just think that. All right, this was a blind item from when they were dating early on. It says, if the reality family can arrange any kind of meeting with the offspring and the meme actor, you know that there will be lots of photos. They really want the relationship to work. Another blind item early on from when they were dating, it says the meme actor, that's usually code for Timothée Chalamet, is hooking up with lots of women, and the A-minus list reality star, Kylie Jenner, just happens to be one of them. I know her mom is trying to make fetch happen, but it's just a fuck buddy thing. You gotta hand it to the way that these blinds are written. Okay, a blind item here from the Golden Globes. When the producers told the meme actor and the reality star to kiss for the cameras, you expected more than you would get from second cousins asked to do the same. Once again, he didn't let her walk the red carpet with him. Yeah, I will say, like, walking the red carpet with someone, you have to be, like, dating them to do that. But then again, like, they were kissing at the Golden Globes. You might as well walk the red carpet if you're going to be, like, seated next to each other and kissing. Oh my God, there was a lot of blind items about Timothée Chalamet sometimes like losing his temper, which was why I think 2 years ago I had it on my pop culture bingo card that he was like going to get into a fist fight or something. Hasn't happened yet. Although now maybe that he's been trained for Dune 2 and he knows how to fight, maybe he'll do it. But this was a blind item that said the meme actor Timothée Chalamet threw a drink at a guy at a bar while out of the country. There hadn't been a fight. He just got up and threw the drink at him. Not the actual glass. Very Samantha from Sex and the City when she goes in to confront Richard. When he's like, I got you a dirty martini. And she's like, dirty martini? Dirty bastard. And she throws it at him. Love that. Okay, the meme actor, Timothée Chalamet, and the cannibal, Armie Hammer, have been hanging out again. That never turns out well. There was a lot of stuff. Did you know that there's a whole group of, you know, I was talking about the Timothée Chalamet snark page and like how wild that is to read, but there's a whole group of people called Charmies. Yeah, that's it. Charmies. And there are people who believe that Timothée Chalamet and Armie Hammer are for real dating. I just like the Larrys, right? Like they're for real dating. They're seeing each other. They're gay. They want to be together, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, I just find that of all the stand names, I feel like that's the cutest. The Charnies. Or no, the Charmies. The Charmies. I think it's just kind of cute. You know what isn't cute? The Selenators. What does that even mean? Or an Arianator. What's an Aider? Like a masturbator? Like, I don't get where the Aider comes from, but whatever. Okay, the next blind item. This A-minus list reality star with the lucrative side gig is going to discover very quickly that the actor she has been calling her boyfriend wants no part in acting alongside her, unless it is a sex tape that they are making for themselves. Another blind item. The meme actor Timothée Chalamet pulled a threesome in about 5 minutes hanging out at a bar last week. To be fair, I could do that too. And so could any girl. Do you know what I mean? Come on. Okay, we have a kindness blind item for Timothée Chalamet. The meme actor recently paid off all of the tabs in a restaurant. I like that. Oh my God, this is a fun one. Okay, so Timothée Chalamet was in Wonka. He, you know, he was in it. Nothing more to say about that. And Hugh Grant was in it because he was the Oompa Loompa who did the Oompa Loompa song and the Oompa Loompa dance, which by the way is like humiliation ritual. Like, anyway, like you're Hugh Grant and you're doing the Oompa Loompa thing. And he was pretty raw during the press tour that he was like, I did this because I needed the money, which I always find wild. Like, get yourself an Instagram sponsorship or something. Don't like, you don't have to do the Oompa Loompa dance, or you could always sell ass. Anyway, whatever. But he did the Oompa Loompa dance because he said that he needed money. And this blind item says, this foreign-born, former A-plus list, mostly movie actor, Hugh Grant, was not amused that the meme actor, Timothée Chalamet, was getting all of the attention at a recent premiere. There was a blind item about Timothée Chalamet wearing lifts in his shoes because he feels self-conscious about being the shortest of the group. There was one, so Timothée Chalamet was in a movie with Taylor Russell. You probably know of her through Harry Styles. and they were in the movie Bones and All. So this was like a few years back, but there was a blind item that says, I suppose the North of the Border A-minus list actress, Taylor Russell, could just be watering the plants and bringing in the mail while the meme actor, Timothy Chalamet, is out of town. But the fact is she still has a key to the place and she got food delivered there. So, dot, dot, dot. Now, I feel like that, here's the thing. I feel like that blind item is trying to insinuate that like they're hooking up because she's coming over to his house. But the blind item also said that he's out of town. So what is this blind item inferring? That like she just likes to go over to his house and like watch TV? Or maybe she is watering the plants? I don't know. I feel like that's kind of a nothing burger. We have another blind item about Timothy Chalamet hooking up with people while he is allegedly dating Kylie Jenner. We have a blind item from 1 year ago that says, people are worried that the meme actor, Timothy Chalamet, is back doing heavy drugs again. He has been acting very off as of late. And then the last one here, once again, is about Timothy Chalamet allegedly hooking up with other people while he's with Kylie Jenner. It says, the meme actor hooked up with a blonde 2 nights ago while out of the country. He said the reality star doesn't care. And I feel like that's probably it. Like, I just don't think... This is going to sound so weird and speculative, but whatever. I don't view the Kardashians as like very sexual. They're like a sexual black hole to me. Like most celebrities, I look at them and I'm like, I could see you fucking. Do you know what I mean? I can't see that for the Kardashians. And I don't know why, because like they're always posing in sexy poses. They're doing sexy things, but I just don't feel like, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. I just like don't see it for some reason, but I could imagine that all of the Kardashians are just kind of like, whatever, I like the perks of dating you, and if you're going to cheat on other people or this is going to be like an open thing, that's fine because I just want the benefit of it. I don't know. I just don't see the Kardashians like needing and loving monogamy, but maybe that's just because like they all get cheated on so much anyway. So there we go. That is a little bit of Dune 2 with a focus on Timothy Chalamet, Shalamala Bing Bong, and Jessica Ferguson. So if you ever want a deep dive on Florence Pugh or Austin Butler or really anyone else from the film, let me know and we could do a part two to the Dune part two episode, and I would be happy to do that.
This is Shannon from the future while recording. The only reason I didn't mention a deep dive on Zendaya is that we did a Euphoria episode with Tori from Ready to Be Petty. So it's a couple years old, but that has some like Zendaya stuff about her and blind items if you want to check it out. But also I might be doing like a more up-to-date episode on her soon if you're interested.
And for anything else, you can head on over to patreon.com/fluentlyforward for some of our Patreon episodes, and of course fluentlyforward.com/merch if you want to check out our merch. We still have Hello Hello, Very Much in Love, and floozy pieces of merch. So you can go check all of that out. It is upcycled, so these are all thrifted pieces with the slogans screen printed on different options of them. And we have t-shirts, we have jean jackets, we have button downs, we have a little bit of everything for whatever you might need in your closet. So go check that out. So thank you for hanging out with me, and I will see you next week for another episode of Fluently Forward. Have a good one. Bye, guys.